Welcome to the latest episode of Public Power Now. I'm Paul Schimpoli, News Director for APPA. Our guest on this episode is Jackie Flowers, Director of Washington State Public Power Utility, Tacoma Public Utilities. Jackie, who was appointed Tacoma Public Utilities Director in 2018, has 30 years of professional experience, with 15 of those managing public utilities. Jackie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Paul. Good morning. Happy to be here.
Thanks again, Jackie. One of the things I like to do when I'm interviewing executives such as yourself, who have a lot of experience in the industry and specifically with public power, is to get a greater sense in terms of your career in the public power sector. Could you provide that to our listeners?
Of course, happy to. So I have to say, as you kind of break down my professional experience, suddenly I'm feeling much older than I was a little earlier today. Right. So yeah, time has flown. I'm actually a civil engineer and was a transplant from the water and wastewater utility industry. So a little fun fact that a lot of people don't know about me. I don't obviously practice engineering and haven't for many, many years. I like to tell people I'm a recovered engineer. I let the engineers do the engineering. But it does help to do the deep dive when you need to on technical topics. So I started managing water and power utilities fairly early in my career. Water and wastewater utilities. So, have been doing that for 23 years. So, those are also public utilities, but not public power to the point. And, had experience in that period managing dams that were non-power generating dams, but were for water sources, and ultimately ended up transitioning into, the public power industry in the, early 2006. Mm-hmm. And have managed public power utilities since that time. Came to Tacoma Public Utilities 5 years ago. Another little fun fact people don't realize, Tacoma Public Utilities includes Tacoma Power, Tacoma Water, Tacoma Rail. So we do have, it's kind of reconnecting my original background in terms of the water utility space, along with the public power space, and that I manage and oversee both of those, as well as Tacoma Rail. So that's a new addition to my repertoire. But, I've seen a lot of changes in that time. When I think back to, my early entry into power, it was at a point where, organizations were still looking at building coal plants. They were, just starting to talk about clean energy, but it really had not transitioned to the point that it has today. We didn't have reliability standards. We didn't have cybersecurity standards. Mm. So it's fascinating to, kind of reflect back on the changes that we've seen in really a relatively short time, particularly when you consider, that our industry has been in place for more than a century and has, I think it just represents that we're seeing an unprecedented pace of change in every element of our industry. And certainly even reflecting that 15 years ago, the changes that we've seen to today are pretty dramatic. And it feels like every segment of our industry has this kind of rapid transformation happening. So it's been a fascinating career, and the industry, I think, is an exciting industry. It clearly has both, power and water. I'd say this about both of those industries have profound impacts on quality of life and drive our economy. And so, to be boots on the ground, if you will, in communities helping to deliver such important services is very, it's an awesome responsibility, humbling a little bit at times, but mm-hmm. it's been a great experience.
So Jackie, your discussion about the dramatic change and rapid change in the sector is kind of a nice segue to my next question as it relates to electric vehicles, which, as you know, there's been some serious growth in terms of EVs across the U.S. And in terms of researching in preparation for this interview, one of the things that jumped out at me was the fact that in July, Tacoma Public Utilities said that 30 more street-side level to electric vehicle chargers were on their way for this year in Tacoma. So I guess one of the questions I had, and you can feel free to kind of expand on things other than the question I have related to this, but how is the utility engaging with its customers to determine the locations for these chargers?
Yeah. It's a great question, Paul. And it's really another fantastic example of the transformation we're seeing. And if I could just kind of side note, you know, think back to, you know, again, 15 years ago, we weren't talking about electric vehicles. It wasn't even that many years ago that we were just barely talking about hybrid, right? And now you look at the amount of focus by manufacturers on all electric and the number of new electric vehicles entering marketplace. I think it's safe to say that this is easily moved from an emerging trend to our operationalized reality. And ready or not, here it comes, right? And so I would just say that in the Northwest, and in particular in Tacoma, where we have this rich legacy of hydropower, we have a very strong, clean portfolio base. We are leaning into these opportunities. Our community has a lot of priorities around decarbonization of other industries. And in particular, that focus has landed on electrification of the transportation industry, as well as a lot of conversations around building electrification. And so, you know, we're in the fortunate position of being a locally owned utility who is providing solutions to the community for what they want to achieve in these areas. And as a result, electrification in the transportation sector has been a priority, working with a variety of customers. And, you know, we have ongoing discussions even with the Port of Tacoma about shore power for, you know, their large operations and a number of areas. But one thing that has been, for me, fascinating to, you know, see the team. They've been very creative in identifying opportunities to seek out grant dollars, and in particular partner with other segments of, you know, our industry or our communities to bring forward electric vehicle solutions. And we have recently installed 15 level 2 chargers in each of the 15 neighborhood business districts in Tacoma. We worked with the city's Community and Economic Development Office and those business district representatives to identify locations within each unique business community. We're using this as a pilot to inform future deployment throughout the city. These are actually straight side chargers that are installed on or nearby streetlight poles. Several years ago, Tacoma Power partnered with the city of Tacoma to convert the streetlights to LED, which freed up some capacity within the distribution system and is allowing us to install those chargers with minimal upgrades. So, you know, again, we just worked with the neighborhood communities and the business communities to identify those areas and prioritize those locations, you know, keeping in mind traffic, parking management, et cetera. As you noted, we do have 30 additional chargers that are planned to be installed, and we're actively soliciting input both in person at various community events and functions that we go to, various neighborhood council meetings, and then also our website. So, and, you know, through our bill communication, soliciting input from the community to say, hey, where would you like to see additional charging capacity installed? We're also using the data that we're getting from those 15 existing charging stations to really identify where demands are. And then I just also want to maybe add a little bit of a footnote. And this is an area that, you know, Tacoma and Pierce County, our service territory, is focused on. And that's ensuring that we're providing equitable access to, you know, these new technologies and new opportunities. The city developed an equity index that kind of looks to identify historic investment. It looks at 26, I believe it is, different data points to identify where we have maybe low opportunity zones that have not historically had the same level of investment or infrastructure access. So we use that information to inform opportunities for us to bring in modernization to our utilities in a way that allows access for all. And I think that's going to be important, you know, as we move forward into further utility modernization, grid modernization, is making sure that, you know, we have awareness about gaps in opportunity and whatever those limitations may be, whether it's income based or whether it's, you know, racial based, or whether it's, you know, legacy policies around housing redlining like we had in Tacoma. Coming forward with solutions that help to make sure that the programs and services that we bring are accessible and people have an opportunity to achieve access to, you know, programs that lead to things like improved quality of life or more affordability of electricity. In some cases, like we're talking about pilots that we've deployed for low-income tenants of, you know, multifamily homes. But as it relates to the EV charging program, we did get a direct appropriation to provide funding level two charging for condominiums and multifamily property owners to provide public charging access as an amenity for residents. And so, again, using our low opportunity areas from the city's equity map has allowed us to bring in incentives to increase availability and also have conversations with people like Tacoma Housing Authority on, you know, what does a car share program look like and providing opportunities for people that maybe in multifamily is not one that's on the forefront. When you think about charging, there are real limitations in multifamily, you know, for electric vehicle. And so we're just really trying to challenge ourselves in that equitable access space and bring forward solutions that are providing an equal playing field for all.
And so just real quick follow-up. So the funding you just mentioned, where, I'm just curious, is that state level or federal level?
That was federal. Yeah, it was from a 2022 Consolidated Appropriations Act that was signed into law last March. So we're excited to put that to work too.
And just kind of circling back to the, you know, you referenced that this is kind of, you referenced the pilot phase of the deployment to further inform future deployment of EV infrastructure. I mean, I guess I would imagine that approach is not only beneficial for the utility, but also for customers as you both kind of learn kind of best practices about this infrastructure going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And, you know, another piece that's interesting in the state of Washington, they did have a policy change where they require utilities to market their charging capability in a gas equivalency cost. So people can start to think about what is this costing me? And so, you know, in Tacoma, people are paying 21 cents per kilowatt hour for charging, which is less than $2.50 per gallon equivalency. So when you start to talk about it in dollars terms that people understand, they can start to think about, wow, you know, so this, you know, may be an opportunity for me to, you know, look at alternative transportation capabilities. Additionally, with the, you know, funding that's available, whether through like, you know, federal incentives or others, it helps to levelize the accessibility of some of those opportunities.
And I would imagine this is also an opportunity for, you know, I would imagine your typical new EV customer is not going to know all the nuances of off-peak and on-peak and what's the best time to charge, right? So this could be a period where they're learning about those types of things.
Correct. Yeah, that's correct. Now, we are still in process of upgrading to advanced meter infrastructure in Tacoma. We had an experience with supply chain shortages that has stalled our project by a couple of years. We're anticipating that we will have meter installations complete by hopefully into Q3 2024. It was initially going to be done in 2022. So we're, you know, just shy of half complete with the power sector. So we don't currently do time of use rates because we still have legacy meters in place. But, you know, that's an area that, you know, we'll continue to explore, in particular, if it provides opportunity for folks to, you know, find better ways to charge and not exacerbate kind of peak limitations, system limitations, things like that. So coming in the future, but we're excited about those opportunities for sure.
So, Jaxie, I just wanted to switch gears and talk about electricity markets. You know, as you know, there's throughout the country, you know, you've got existing ISOs, RTOs, but a lot of those ISOs and RTOs are kind of looking at different shapes in terms of the types of markets, market offerings. And, you know, with respect to your utility, as you know, the utility has been involved with the development of the Southwest Power Pools Markets Plus initiative. Could you provide additional details on that?
Yeah, thank you, Paul. You know, again, another area of the industry where we're just seeing rapid evolution. And mm-hmm. even in the Northwest, where, you know, again, we've got the oldest renewable energy source that is our primary portfolio in the Northwest, and in particular in Tacoma, both we're a Bonneville Power Administration customer as well as have our own hydropower system. Even in the Northwest, where that has been a stable resource for us for so many years, we continue to see, I guess, signs of grid constraint and capacity constraint as, you know, we're noting that we're seeing more transition. You know, we see more legacy baseload generations that are coming offline, more integration of renewable energy sources. All of those are leading to, you know, changes in what has historically been power availability that's been pretty strong and resilient. So it continues to underscore questions about whether or not the region will have adequate supply of electricity in critical hours. And even in, you know, recent years, we've seen a number of studies that have identified basically kind of an urgent and immediate challenge to the regional electric system to continue to provide reliable electric service during high demand conditions. So as these conditions continue to kind of threaten the upset of the balance of loads and resources, we, you know, recognize that we all have to continue to work to find solutions and make sure that we're not at risk of supply disruptions during those critical periods, in particular weather sensitive, whether it's winter or summer, also minimizing financial risk for our customers and, you know, really protecting the legacy investment that we've had in these resources. So we're involved in a number of, you know, initiatives. It's interesting. We joined the Western Energy Imbalance Market last March. We've also joined the Western Resource Adequacy Program, which is basically a broad coalition of stakeholders who's working to enhance and increase reliability for entities, you know, within the West while maintaining, you know, reliable operations and thinking about the path forward as it relates to resource adequacy. But that program, you know, we hope will continue to enhance reliability for participants, including ourselves. And importantly, you know, given uncertainty of the ever-changing resource mix and demands, we also want to optimize costs because, you know, that affordability is ever present in our resource planning and our look forward. So as you noted, we've participated in a lot of conversations with CAISO related to the EDAM initiative, and more recently have been active with SPP in evaluating Markets Plus. And I would just say that Tacoma is happy to join our peer utilities in supporting these opportunities, given the significance of, you know, impacts of moving to centralized day-ahead markets. We think it's beneficial for utilities across the West to have multiple options to evaluate. And I think that's particularly important for public power entities. You know, so we're committed to exploring all those options. We hope to see, you know, options that lead to market opportunities to integrate more renewables, protect our legacy investment, do it in a cost-effective manner, and allow us to continue to build to 100% carbon-free. We're so close now, but as everybody knows, it's those last incremental investments that are difficult. And one of the things in particular for us with the SPP Markets Plus is that's attractive is the independent governance structure. And that is, you know, certainly a distinguishing factor for product development and one that's important to public power.
Hey, so you mentioned, you touched upon resource planning. Just curious, this question jumped to mind. Are you guys in the middle of an integrated resource plan update or anything along those lines right now?
You know, we're just getting ready to start again. So we, in the state of Washington, we do it every 2 years. And with some of the interest that we have for large developers, and in particular, there's a lot of conversation about green electrolytic hydrogen in our area, seeing interest there. And we're also starting to see more capacity constraints in our forecast. So we anticipate that we're closing in on a period where it's going to be time to look at resource acquisition or other opportunities that we've not had to face before. Mm-hmm. So it is, you know, once again, another area where things are changing.
And so, Jackie, my wrap-up question is kind of a bigger picture question. Wanted to get your perspective in terms of what you see as the key challenges and opportunities facing utilities in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. So, I think it's part of it's that rapid change in mm-hmm. all areas. And I would say that, you know, surprisingly for folks that are in other utilities across the country, they may think that everything's kind of smooth sailing in the Northwest. We've got such a strong, legacy investment in clean hydropower. But we face the same challenges for reliability and affordability. And, you know, that is going to continue to be a stronghold going forward, in particular as customers and businesses look to rely more on our product for conversion of fuel sources from other industries. I mean, we already know, let's face it, that none of us like outages, and the customers are very frustrated, as more and more today you hear people say, my internet is out, as fast as you hear them say, my power is out, right? Mm-hmm. Well, fast forward to now when you have more reliance upon our product for, you know, electrification of vehicles and whatnot. Although I had to remind somebody that, you know, when you pump gas, it takes electricity. So in a power outage, you also have impacts there. But I think it just really underscores the importance of us as an industry to continue to focus on not only reliability, but resilience. And we're seeing that also in so many areas with, you know, these weather events that are impacting grid operations, and, you know, how challenging it is for customers to, you know, to wait for power to be restored. So, mm-hmm. so I just, as I look forward, I think, you know, those are going to be challenges for our industry, is, you know, continuing to challenge our own modeling and our own risk mitigation in a way that anticipates more of these extreme events, and mm-hmm. continue to build and strengthen that resilience and our ability to respond to and restore, as well as, you know, mitigate impacts from. Some of that will be through technology. Some of it will be through, you know, labor and our employee resources, which are all, you know, also challenged as we have, you know, more competitive industries that we're all, you know, dealing with and facing. So I think that that's going to continue to be a focus. And in particular, as we look at, you know, some of these changes that are these significant shifts in things like power markets, right? Mm-hmm. So how do we maintain the affordable power that we've had, continue to build on and strengthen that reliability and resilience, and deliver on the same success that we have historically had over the last, you know, century plus? I will say that I'm bullish on public power. I think we're uniquely positioned to really embrace these changes and bring forward a unique focus on our own communities and service territory priorities. You know, we're able to explore those opportunities that make sense for our regions and our communities. And I think that's really important to have, you know, a connection to the electric providers in a local way, where you're kind of proud of the, you know, the local utility that's providing the solutions that are important to your community. And so I'm bullish on public power. I think we're going to have, you know, some challenges, and I think we're up to it. And I also have to say, Paul, I'm really excited about APPA's new leader, Scott Corwin. We've had an opportunity in the Northwest to work with Scott for, I'll say, decades, and he'll probably feel like that makes him feel old, but he's a public power policy leader and one that has certainly shined in the Northwest in a couple different organizations, and super excited to see him move to the national stage and with a bigger footprint than even the national stage he represented before. And I know you guys are going to enjoy working with him, and we're thrilled to support him in that new endeavor.
Absolutely. Yes. I couldn't agree with you more. So one thought that I wanted to run by you, I mean, it strikes me in terms of what we just talked about, is increasingly with this rapid change in the power sector, customers have to be made constantly aware of trade-offs. For example, well, you could bury transmission lines, but there's a cost involved with that. If you want to increase reliability, you could bury transmission lines, but there's costs involved with that. Or, for example, public safety power shutoffs are obviously getting a lot of attention these days. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that in terms of making customers aware of trade-offs?
You know, I think it is going to be an area that we're going to all need to continue to focus on, because the industry is getting more complex, and mm-hmm. the expectations of customers continue to grow and be more diverse and more complex. And so one of the things that I think, you know, public power has as a strong point is our engagement in community. You know, we live in and work in these communities. And, you know, not only do we maybe hold Public Power Day where people come and watch line workers climb poles or watch demonstrations or tour hydro plants, but we also are at, you know, local farmers markets. And the key is to be able to engage in these topics in a way that, you know, are meaningful to customers so that they can think about how it plays out in their lives and meets their expectations. And they can also start to see the two sides of the equation, right? Because really each of these decision points has impacts. There's no silver bullet in like the examples you gave. There are pros and cons of both. And oftentimes, you know, people that aren't in the industry thinking about it all the time may not know. But I think it's important to lean into those conversation opportunities to help shape your policies, to help shape your resource plans, to help shape your activities and investments, so that, again, you know, community can understand and not only understand, but even advocate for the direction you're going. So, you know, they feel like they understand what you're doing. It's transparent. They're supportive of it. And they're willing to even go out and, you know, say, hey, I know this is complex. Maybe I don't agree with everything they do, but I think this is the right direction. I think that's important when you have local policymakers that they, you know, that they also are hearing from community, that folks know what you're doing and understanding. It's an area that we're really focused on is increasing our level of engagement in community on these really challenging issues. We try to bring in our integrated resource plan. You know, we have a kind of a focus group of customers that are sitting at the table that also have diverse interests and diverse representations so that they can be part of the conversation and really help drive the outcome. I think it's more of that, more meeting customers where they are and being willing to engage in the conversations that are difficult and share with them what you can.
So even in a world of Zoom meetings, face-to-face can't be replaced.
Right. It's true. It's true. Well, so we do a lot of both. You know, I think and would say, you know, in some of our neighborhoods that we engage in neighborhood councils and community block groups, some of them are not meeting in person. And so, you know, we try to get on their agenda for their Zoom meeting, or maybe they have newsletters. We try to put information in the newsletters so that they can distribute for to their neighborhoods. But in many where they are meeting in person, we try to, go to where the customer is, meet them where they are and, you know, share with them what we're working on, share with them what concerns we have and challenges we have and invite the conversation. Oftentimes we'll be out there to talk about maybe it's budget and rates. And after we give our explanation and open it up for questions, we, you know, we answer everything from what are you doing about electric vehicles to, you know, what are you doing for salmon recovery? And just having that touch point where you're available and present goes a long way to continue to strengthen the trust and support by the community.
Well, Jackie, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us today. You know, as you noted, the industry is ever evolving. So would love to have you back at some point in the future to talk about maybe the changing landscape of the sector and what's going on specifically at Tacoma Public Utilities.
Sounds great, Paul. I look forward to it. And we'll see you soon at an APPA event.
All right, great. Thanks again, Jackie.
Yeah, you bet.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Public Power Now, which is produced by Julio Guerrero, graphic and digital designer at APPA. I'm Paul Schimpoli, and we'll be back next week with more from the world of public power.